Well, tonight I would like to, with the help of the Lord, look at three things. Three things that we need to know about the gospel, about what God wants us to know. And it's really important for us to know these things. Let's turn in our Bible to Isaiah chapter 53, please. I'm going to read these in the order they're found. So if you have a Bible, it's right in the middle, pretty much in the middle of your Bible is Isaiah. You have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. If you've been here before, we already heard this verse spoke on very well, but I'm just going to look at this verse and then move on. It says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray." That means we've not followed the right way. We've gone the wrong way. "We have turned everyone to his own way." That's even more responsibility on ourselves. And that's really one of the reasons why I like this verse. It brings out that fact. But the last part is what I really love. "And the Lord hath laid on him that the iniquity," or the sin, "of us all." So the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's turn over to chapter 59, Isaiah 59, and verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So the problem that we want to talk about tonight, the first thing is that the fact is that it's your sins. Your sins. "Your iniquities have separated," that's just another word for sins. "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You know, one thing is your sins. And we can all compare ourselves to other people. And I compare myself to another person and say, "Well, I'm not that person. I'm not that bad. I don't do what they do, and they don't. And I don't talk, and I don't do." And but the Bible says, my sin is between me and my God. So the problem is not my sin between you and your God. No, no. My sin is between me and my God. And that's what I want to think of. Another fact is that our sin, we don't really take it as seriously as we ought to. Our sin is much more serious than we really can even imagine. How many sins? Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And they committed 10 sins. They committed 20 sins. They committed a horrible sin. The Lord God said, "Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And they disobeyed God, and they partook of the fruit, and they ate it. Eve ate it. She gave it to her husband, Adam, and he took it, and he did eat. They both disobeyed God. They both transgressed. And sin came into the world. That was our first parents. And as they, because of that, sin came in, and there was a separation between God and man now. They couldn't commune with God. And when God came down, they hid and tried to cover themselves up and tried to hide from God because they were scared sin had come in. That's the problem I want to think about. And it's not just Adam's sin. And it's not just everybody in the world's sin. I want to think of your sin. Your sin. Is your sin between you and God? The next thing I want to think about, let's look at John chapter 3. We read it before, and if you don't have a Bible, or if you would like to, the verse is right over here, right on the wall to my right on your left. John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is we just heard it, but I'm going to read it again. For God so loved the world, He so loved you, that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. Why? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll read it again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The requirement here to have eternal life is that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 and verse 23. Just a verse here. Romans 3 and verse 23. And if you are unable to find it, but that's all right, you can listen. That's fine. Romans 3 and verse 23 says this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one is excluded. Every single person, from myself to everybody else, is included. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let's look at verse chapter number 6. And verse 23. And here, it gives us more information about sin. You know, your sin can be forgiven. No matter how many sins you have, no matter you think there's too many that you've been the worst sinner in the whole world, not one sinner cannot have their sins forgiven because there was someone here that took your place. There was someone here that came to die for you, just you individually. Yes, it's your sin. My friend, there's a Savior. He longs to be your personal Savior. And this is how wonderful the gospel is. The good news. Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's why that pillar, the black pillar there on the chart behind us, is there. It's called death, a pillar of death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through our going to church, not through our prayers, not how much money we can give, not how many good deeds we can do, or how many things we can, not at all. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life, everlasting life, to be saved from death and hell that is on the chart behind us that you can find in the Bible. Let's turn to one more. And that is 1 Timothy chapter 1. And if you can't find it, it's over here on my left. It's on your right. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Paul is the one who wrote this book to Timothy, another Christian. But you know, Paul wasn't a real good person. He was an upright person, but if you read verse 13 and 14, verse 13, he was an awful person. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was an injurious person. He sought to put people to death. This is an awful person. But listen to what he said in verse 15. This is a faithful saying. It's a reliable saying. You can trust it. You can put all your weight on it. He said, this is worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He writes that and he says, I am the worst of the sinners. I am the first of the people that say, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm the worst on the list. I am the first on the list of all those. So anyone who says they're a sinner, just look at my past. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All right, so that's we'll do for our reading. Thank you very much. It's a lot of reading. But the first thing is that is our separation from God. And it's our sin. It's a problem that we do. It's the things that we think that are bad. It's the things that we do that are bad. And it's the things we wish we should do, but we don't do. We should help that person that's in the ditch, but we're too, I don't have time for that person, and we don't help them. Sin is to miss the mark. God demands absolute perfection. If you could live a perfect life, you can get into heaven. But the Bible says all have sinned. All have come short of that level of perfectness. You cannot, there's no perfect person in the world. You say, well, everybody, there's no such thing as a perfect person. There is one perfect person, it's the Lord Jesus. So everyone is a sinner. All have broken God's law. Everyone has come short. And the problem is that if we don't have that dealt with, that will lead us right into a pond beyond death is hell and the lake of fire. God cannot have sin in heaven. He cannot accept a person and who doesn't want to have their sins forgiven or who loves their sin. God wants, do you detest your sin? Do you hate your sin? Do you, those bad things that you wish you didn't think. And then maybe tomorrow you're going to start over to try something new. I'll behave myself a different person tomorrow. You know, God requires that which is past. And he'll bring it up in the future. He'll say, what did you do back then? So the problem is that every single person is a sinner. And not one person can get to heaven by their own. But you know, God has a remedy. God has a cure. God has a pardon. God has a rescue plan for every single person. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one. He is the only way to heaven. The Lord Jesus while he was here, he said these words, I am the way. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4, Peter was speaking and he said, neither is there salvation. There's no salvation in anyone else. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What name is that? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord Jesus do when he was here on this earth? He lived a good life. He healed people. He rescued those who needed rescuing. The disciples were in the boat, and they were in a storm, and he was sleeping, and they came to him, and they said, "Master, don't you care that we are perishing?" And he woke up, and he, it's not that he wasn't aware, but he woke up, and he said, "Peace, be still." And it's just like that. It was, and he rescued them from perishing. But you know, he didn't come to just calm the seas. He didn't come to heal people, although he did. That was not his motive, his mission, his goal, coming from heaven down to this world. He didn't come just to provide temporary relief, provide a man his eyesight, make a lame man walk. And I said to, I said this at the other place, and Timmy was there, and Justin was there. And I said, if I was living while the Lord Jesus was living, and I was in my wheelchair, and I couldn't get to him, I would tell Timmy and Justin, I would say, we're going to go to wherever he is. And we're going to have to do whatever it takes for me to be healed. And, you know, they kind of laughed. But I said, you know, it's not about, he didn't come just to heal. There will be eventually a day because we'll all be changed, the Bible says. But he came to deal with the root cause that we, our biggest problem that we have. He came to deal with your sin and my sin. We can't deal with that. We try to make ourselves look good. We try to act good. We try to be a good citizen. That's good. But that will not do. That will not allow us to enter into heaven. Just our own good deeds. Going to church is okay. You can learn about the Bible. But that is not what God says is enough to get into heaven. What will do? What is the answer? The Lord Jesus came to be your substitute. He came to die in your place. He was born to die. His purpose in coming was to rescue sinners, to save sinners. We read it right here. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if there's any sinner in our meeting tonight, he came to save you. You in our meeting. If you've never been rescued, if you're still wish you could be free of that sin, and it's kind of you're caught, your sin has trapped us, and we cannot break free. We need someone to save us. You know, there was a couple snowmobilers in Nova Scotia. They got lost, and one got separated. He said, "I'll go for help," but he didn't know where he was either. And one was, they were both lost, and they were separated one from another. Surprising, they actually lived. So one general, he called someone, and his buddies, his friends came, and very early in the morning, they came with their snowmobiles to a place where they were, and then they set out, and they found one person, but the other person, they needed a big rescue. A lot of the EHS, the ambulance, the search and rescue, the RCMP, all these other agencies were all involved to save one man. And thank God they saved him. They found him and they rescued him. You know, that's like the Lord Jesus. He came right from heaven. The very Son of God, the perfect man. He didn't have any blemish in him. No fault, no sin, no stain. He didn't have the problem we had. He could be our substitute. He could take our place. You know, he wanted to make the payment on the for you. And there he was on the cross. There was 3 hours of, he was there for 6 hours. 3 hours in the daylight. And 3 hours, and it was all dark. What happened in the 3 hours when it was all dark? We know what happened in the 3 hours in the daytime. Men jeered at him, they mocked him, they scoffed him, they took his clothes, they gave him this just They did horrible things to him. That was when he was on the cross. And they tormented him before he was on the cross. What did he do when he was on the cross? We read it in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Listen to what it says. What the Bible says. The Lord laid on him the iniquity. Imagine all my sins were here. And your sins. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, is that a true from the Word of God? Or is that just something that maybe someone wrote when they were, you know? No, the Word of God is absolutely dependable. Read that saying again. This is a faithful saying. It's reliable, trustworthy, and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy for you to accept. In our meeting tonight, Christ Jesus came into the world to save you, to rescue you. Why? We were lost in our sins. We can't save ourselves. We can't rescue ourselves. No matter how many people try, no one can pay the price for someone else. Everyone will pay for their own sin. Unless you accept the gift that's offered. And Romans 6 and 23, the Lord Jesus, it's a gift. He said, the wages of sin is death. Christ took your death. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you were to accept the Lord Jesus, it's just like accepting a gift. It's like make an exchange. I'll take the gift, eternal life, instead of having to pay for my sin. What would you rather? Take the wages? Or would you rather take the gift? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One more thing, and I'm going to close. This is the responsibility of every single one who hears the message of the gospel. And that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good that he died for everybody. But the gospel will only be on those who believe. God will not force you into heaven against your will. God will not make you, you know, he will not twist your arm and say, you better believe it or else. It's a willing person who admits their sin and acknowledges, I need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus, I'm the Savior. And when you believe that, you have eternal life. May God bless these words. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the Lord Jesus. Thankful for the one who took our place there on Calvary. He didn't have to. He shouldn't have went there. He went of his own voluntary will so that we would never have to go into hell as a result of our sin. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We're grateful for ones that are here, and we pray for thy blessing upon them. And we thank you for their kind attention, but we pray that their soul will be saved before it is eternally too late. So we ask thy blessing upon us as we part in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.